At the moment, it feels like every time I wake up, there's a bill on my bedside table, there's a invoice in my inbox, and it's from the universe saying, you used this much oxygen yesterday, you owe us $100. Every time I wake up, there are more bills, and you're no different. It's expensive out there. Things cost so much money. We need to live our life, we need to do our business as usual stuff, but we also need to date. We also need to have quality time with our loved ones, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, and our families. In this episode today, we're going to talk about low-cost date options. But as you'll start to hear, this is an encouragement to get creative with your thinking around first-time meetups, first-time dates, second-time dates, and also activities with your family. If you've got a couple of kids or if you're collecting kids and you know you need activities to do, some of the stuff we talk about can be used in a family sense. Before we get into it, I'd like to thank our show partner, Sky Wealth. Hey, real talk, you need to get your life and your income insurance sorted. It needs to be one of the biggest priorities in your financial life. Before you worry about investing, before you worry about going on a silent yoga retreat in India, that's cute, but you need to get your life and your income insurance sorted because everything we do in our financial life is based on money walking in the door each and every week. So you can head to sky.com.au. You can have a 15-minute chat with them, no cost, and they'll just walk you through the process. Thanks, Sky, for supporting the podcast. I'm joined by Gina and Troy. They got some low-cost date options. My name's Glenn James. Let's do a podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gina and Troy, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Now, I randomly met you guys at a money event at the end of last year, and we got talking after the event, and I'm like, oh, that's some good ideas.
I think I was telling you about my 22 dates that I went on, because I went on 22 dates for 2022.
Is that, and what number and was Troy?
He was number 10.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
we got halfway and I ruined the series.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, so you didn't do the rest of the 22? You stopped when you found gold?
I did the rest of the dates with Troy because we're in love.
I encouraged her to do all 22 because I was invested in seeing how they all went.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun time, but unfortunately I tried. I really did try. But it's weird. I was like, I can't do it. This guy's it.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Well, love, am I right?
Am I right?
So 22 dates in 22 didn't work. You met Troy.
Yeah.
And here we are. You guys, before we get into the date and the low-cost options, maybe tell us a little bit about what each of you do. And then I think we'll do the date options and we might, if we have time, swing back around and talk about how you guys do money together. So I'll start with you, Troy. What do you do? And how old are you guys?
So I'm 32.
Yeah.
And my sort of like main career job is I am a primary school teacher. And then my passion that I'm turning into a career is I do photography and videography as well. So that's sort of like what I do. And how I get by.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I am Gina Rose-Drew. I'm 31 years old and I'm an actor.
Ooh, look out.
Fancy.
Look out, Netflix.
Well, at the moment, let's just say like the ads or the commercials between your favorite shows, but
okay.
Maybe Netflix one day.
All right, awesome. So are you a 9-to-3 primary school teacher?
Sort of. This year I will be. So I've done full-time before, and I went through all of COVID doing full-time. Mm. After that, I took a break and I went, I'm just going to drop down to casual and kind of pursue learning photography and really understanding that, putting time and effort into that. And just this year, because I've looked at finances and gone, I definitely need to kind of build up a bit more savings to really propel myself to what I want to do next year and give myself more time. Mm. So I've taken on a full-time role this year with year one, which I'm really excited about. And the class I hopefully will have, we got a sneak peek of what they are. I'm going to have a bright bunch of a mixture of really funny kids and also some like really wonderful ones that are really quite talented, which will be challenging for me.
So acting, teaching, love, life. We're here. So when you said we've got low-cost date options, are you both, I'm just going to say it, like, are you both tight asses? Are you savers? Are you spenders? Like, where did this come? Or was it just a, this is expensive, like I talked about at the start of the show, we can't just spend all our money on dates because we get the same benefit whether we spend $100 or $25. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
Yeah, I think for us, we have always been on the same page about wanting to spend quality time together. Like, that's a huge value for us. And I think it was being on the same page of like what that budget for that time, I guess, is for us, whether we're able to spend, you know, like you said, $100 a date or not. And I'm a low income earner because my income is inconsistent. And so for me, my budget was quite low. And I value in a partner that we match that together. So that's sort of where it came from. It's like, we want to spend this quality time together, but we don't want it to be at the cost of our finances in any way.
So before we hit record and, you know, started this episode, you wanted to talk about some stuff before we just dive into cheap date options. Like, let's go to one of the options. Everyone is like, let's go to Woolworths and steal a heap of groceries and have fun together. No, joking. Yeah. So,
bad date idea, that's for sure.
Yeah. If you like doing hard time in prison,
we got the date for you.
Yeah, exactly. You need to rob banks. So, okay. So, what do you want to talk about before we get into solution mode? What's important to talk about with your partner?
The one thing when we started talking about this is our first sort of solution point, the thing we needed to really come up with was the idea of cheap is different to everyone, depending on your, not just your income, but literally how you spend money, how you see money. The idea of what is cheap is really different for every single person. So we had to come up with, okay, for where we are financially and how we see money, and though we are on the same page with a lot of things that we agree on, the very beginning of that was like a really big discussion about how we see money. And Gina really pushed that forward of what's your money story and how do you value things? We then had to come up with, what's the price point? What is a cheap date for us? So for everyone out there, it might be different for you and that's okay. But we had to kind of set a starting point.
And our starting point was we thought about dinner and a movie, right? The classic. Such a great date.
But that can be expensive.
It is so expensive. We like averaged it out and it averaged out at between $50 and $60 per person for dinner and a movie.
Yeah, if you're not taking advantage of like your cheap Tuesdays or deals or anything.
Okay, so if it was 100, we'll just call it 100 square.
100 bucks, yeah.
For a date. In your relationship, is that a cheap date or is that expensive?
No, that we would definitely save up for that one.
It's not something that we will go out and do every weekend.
But if we, I guess, didn't go on like a weekly date and we saved that money up, we could go for like a weekend trip away once a month with that money, you know? And once again, then that comes back to your values. Would you like to spend like a weekend like camping together and spend a little bit more money? Or are you a sort of couple that like want to go out more regularly and spend less money? Does that make sense? Yeah.
And a lot of these ideas that we've sort of come up with, even though we set this idea of about $100 for a date is, I guess, a maximum, I don't think many of them really
hit that at all. Yeah. Mm. The date ideas that we've got coming up for you.
Well, like if you did $100 a week on dates or going out, that's $5,000 a year.
That's so much.
It is.
And I think, and you know, people listening, there's going to be, you know, people of all different ages and stages listening. Mm. Like going out once a fortnight would sound like a dream to some parents of newborns and all that stuff. So I think it is just understanding what your age and stage is.
Yeah, definitely. And also just like if we bring in singles into this, a lot of the time, like that's the way that you actually find out whether you're connected to someone. Like, yes, you've got your Tinder and your Hinge and you can talk with them on that for nothing for ages. Mm. But that actual physical connection with someone you're not going to see unless you go on a date. And then it's like, well, how many opportunities are you going to give yourself to find love, right?
So before you met Troy, when you were going through your dates, what was your strategy financially? Was it, I'm just doing coffee or drinks, one drink, one coffee, and I'm out of there? Or was it always over a meal? How did you do that?
I had a little bit of like a blunder, I would say, like a financial date mishap early on, which led me to finding more financially savvy ways to date. Yeah. And I went on a date with this guy and he paid, which was so lovely, but the date itself cost about $300.
What? First time? First date.
Never met him before. And so first of all,
I mean,
that's
red flag, maybe. I don't know.
Also, so much pressure on me. I was like, oh my God, like I hadn't even met the guy and he's told me he spent this money on our date. And I was like, oh my God, what if I don't like him? What am I going to do? I turn up at the date and he looks nothing like his profile picture. His profile picture was probably him in high school or maybe like just getting out of high school. Like it was like very like youthful. He was just a little bit older than he let on. And
did his age match on the profile?
I don't think so. Mm. We didn't really get into that. He also like it was just an awkward date overall. Mm. Like he didn't look like his profile picture. There was basically no connection. And then I'm like, oh my God, he spent so much money on this date. How do I tell this guy that like, I can't do it anymore? And so that sort of started me going, look, I'm not just going to go on these dates willy-nilly anymore. I'm actually going to plan them out and think about it beforehand. And that's when,
But I mean, if you're like swiping and matching and organizing a meetup, I just think a coffee in sunlight and daylight.
Yeah.
Just smash and grab it. Just get in, have a coffee, get the hell out.
100%. And that really is like, that's our first low cost date.
Mm.
yeah. So, I mean, Troy, do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, I'll go straight into it. I mean, I agree with you. I'm a big fan of the get a coffee date, the go for a drink date, because whether you're a morning person or you're a night person, going out and getting a single drink, and even if you're going to be the one to buy the drinks, you're sitting anywhere between like, you know, what, a $4 to $6 coffee for yourself, or if you're going out for a night, generally if you're in the city, like a beer is going to be unfortunately like $8 to $12 depending on what you're having. But I think the best part about it, especially for first dates as well and first meetups, is you can comfortably drink a coffee or a beer or whatever in about half hour, 45 minutes, and that's enough time to sort of gauge conversationally how this is going. It's one of, like, when I was dating is what I would always suggest. And that way, when the drinks are done, if you think it's going, you can be done.
You can be done.
If you think it's going well, you offer more or maybe you offer to do rounds. And you'll know if it's not going well.
It's funny that, like, with online dating and apps, right, it really does prove, like, sure, I've liked the look of this person, I like the vibe, so I've swiped right or clicked whatever. And then it really does prove when you meet up, they can be the best looking person you've ever seen, but if there's nothing there.
Some people are fantastic at
showstopper
conversing online as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was, you know, dating, there were times where you'd have these amazing conversations and you'd meet up and all of a sudden, even myself, I'd go like, I don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, because that interaction with someone completely changes.
Mm.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got a liquid date. And I mean, do you guys still do liquid dates?
Oh my God, every
together?
Day.
I love coffee. I drink coffee every single day. And like, yeah, if we're not going to work, one of our very first things is I'll be like, let's get dressed. Let's get out of the house. Let's go for a walk. Let's get a coffee. Yep. And we'll do a little walk around. We'll chat about what our plan is for the day, what we want to get out of it. Or even in the afternoon, if we're exhausted and we're like, oh, it's been such a day, I'll be like, hey, let's grab a quick drink.
Yeah.
It helps like wind down for the afternoon. How was your day? You know, what?
But you wouldn't leave the house for that?
Sometimes we will, because we've got the pub down the road.
Yep.
So we can always just duck down. And sometimes I'll just make coffee at home, or we'll make a drink at home. We'll just like sit on the couch in our little area and just chat.
Mm.
Yeah.
So did you have the what's cheap to each other chat?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. And were you both on the same page?
No.
No, we weren't.
Really?
Yeah, not to start with, because, for me, it was very confronting. I grew up where, not to get too much into it, but I grew up where like money was, it was scarce, but at the same time, when we had it, we spent it because all of a sudden you had money. And so I've grown up with that as like a way to use money. And so, you know, even though I'm working for what I consider as like good amount of pay, I'm in a position where, you know, I'm only really learning how to actually use my money. And so, yeah, we had that conversation where, like, all of a sudden we're like, what is cheap?
Mm. What has Gina taught you about money?
Gina has taught me a lot about money. Really a lot about just not needing to use it straight away, looking at the things that you know, defining your wants, your needs, but also, like, seeing the value in the things that I want and going, how badly do I want it? How long will I wait for it? If I won't wait 3 months for it, maybe I don't actually need it as badly as I think I want it, because I have that pull to spend.
Actually, I've seen you at Impulsives Anonymous.
You're still going to that?
But she's really taught me this idea of, like, before, like, when I get my pay, when I see the money come in, go, where does this need to go? And how far can it go, I think, is the biggest one. How far can my money actually go, rather than what can it get me now?
Gina, what's Troy taught you about money?
Don't spend it.
No, I think I learned a lesson recently from Troy, and I bow my head and apologize for it, because I'm someone who, like, I know my budget for things, but I like to spend, like, a little amount of money at a time. I don't like to do, like, a big bulk spend, say for groceries or something. And so I usually, like, do the groceries, but I do it like a daily or a bi-daily situation.
Right.
So I'll be like, just buy the ingredients for dinner, you know, and just get that. And Troy grew up in a household where you would buy the weekly grocery shop, right? Mm. And so when we got home from, it was like a trip away, and I was so tired. I'm like, babe, can you go get, like, the groceries? And I thought he was just going to come home with dinner. And he came home with the whole week's worth of groceries. And at the time, I remember going, oh my God, like, why would you do that? You spend all that money. And then I was talking to my best friend about it, and she was like, Gina, if you add up all your weekly grocery spends, it's like your daily grocery spends, it's exactly the same amount of money, if not more, than, like, the weekly grocery shop. And so I am now like, right, well, I will be changing what I do.
And I mean, you could probably get a little bit more scale, because if you just buy a little bit more, it's
exactly,
a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
But I get, like, if you're coming from irregular income,
yeah,
you got to cash flow it every couple of days.
Yeah, because you just,
it
kind of
takes a while to get to that
so much.
Critical mass. Yeah.
It's so inconsistent. And also, I think in terms of my money story, this idea of, like, if I see a smaller number, that's positive to me. Whereas if seeing the bigger numbers, I feel very guilty about that, you know? And I think a lot of people do. They won't spend the money. Like, if you're buying a T-shirt, say, they'll see a $5 T-shirt at Kmart and they'll be like, oh, great, bargain. And they'll buy maybe, like, you know, 50 of them a year or something, right? Rather than buying, like, one really good quality T-shirt that's, like, $50, that's going to last them a lot longer. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
only
totally.
Because that bigger price tag scares the bejeebus
but
out of them.
It is hard to get to that critical mass. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to get to the critical mass where I pay my car insurance in one go.
Oh, totally,
as
right?
opposed to monthly.
Yeah.
Even though paying it in one go saves 10 to 12% a year.
100%.
It's almost like getting to that level of good vibes and flow in your money.
That you're
so
able
hard.
To do that.
It's
yeah.
expensive to get
yeah.
there, because you've got to pay monthly on stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really why, you know, with the Glen James spending plan that I teach, it really does get people, you know, onto that system so they can pay for stuff yearly sooner than later. What's the second date option that you've got?
This one is pizza and beers in a park, or your equivalent of. Sometimes it can be fish and chips and a soda. But I worked out pretty quickly when I was dating that a six-pack of beers and a pizza kind of cost the same. And I was like, I feel like that's a fair spending for both parties. And then now that we, like, I'm coupled up, it's just such a wonderful thing to do together, because it feels really cute. Mm. Like, going on a picnic and, like, having the pizza out and the beers.
Yeah, it's very nice after, like, a busy day where we'll go through our list of, like, things that we want to get done, and be like, oh, we really got all those things done. Like, we're exhausted. It's like, you know, why don't we pizza beer picnic it? Let's go pick up a pizza. I'll grab the beers and we'll go sit down and we'll just have a nice, especially in summer, like right now, it's like really the perfect time to be doing it, which we love. And I love going out by the beach. So,
oh, that's a good one. And again, a lot of these options are for any ages.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're looking, if you've got primary school kids, fish and chips, picnic, afternoon.
It
can
turns
be used
into
for that.
A whole family event as well. And, like, it's one of those things where you got to think about, you're not going to eat out every single night. You're not going to eat out every single weekend, maybe. But it's picking those times where you go, let's do that now. This is a good time to do it. We're all sort of in that headspace of we deserve to go out and take a break from cooking at home, which we know is always going to be the cheapest option. But there's now every now and then where you go, let's have that moment to rest.
And I would encourage everyone to invest in a good size picnic rug and just leave in your boot. Yeah.
Definitely.
We have ours in the boot.
Yeah.
We leave a lot of our camping gear in the boot, actually.
Yeah. Oh, we might just stay the night here.
Yeah, you never know.
That's what we were literally doing five seconds before this podcast. Troy was like, right, what beaches are on around here?
Yeah. Love it. Well, there you go, everyone. And, you know, some beers or soft drinks and chips, like that's got to be less than $25 for two people.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, yeah. We get, you know, yeah, fish and chips will probably set you back like anywhere between, what, 15, 20 bucks. And then, a couple of drinks. You sit down, chill out, picnic rug.
Take some AeroGuard.
Take some AeroGuard.
And your sunscreen.
And your sunscreen.
SPF.
What else have we got?
So our next one is actually, this is probably one of Gina's favorite ones. And I was shocked the day that she suggested it and we went for it. She calls it her MasterChef Mystery Box Date.
Wow.
She loves cooking shows.
And I love them so much.
One day she's like, I've got this great date idea that I want to try out. I just thought of it. I'll bring over a mystery box of food, just some ingredients, and you're going to try and cook something out of it. And I'm not like the most amazing cook.
Are you allowed to add staples?
You are. Okay. So the idea here is if you're the one getting the food, you bring over three or four ingredients. If you want, it can just be like a hero ingredient. So you can just say, I'm not going to bring over any, I'm going to bring over a main thing. It's going to be like the main thing of the dish, whether it's a meat or it's a certain type of vegetable or whatever. But yeah, you open up the box and there you are. You've got to cook something out of it. You can use all the rest of the things that are in your kitchen, but you've been given the ingredients that have to go in it.
That's fun as well.
Yeah.
It's very fun. You've got to get a bit creative and it can be simple. Like when Gina did it the first time, she brought over just some, you know, chicken breast. She brought over some potatoes. It looked like a pretty standard sort of, you know, chicken, potatoes and veg sort of meal. And I just happened to go through our spice cabinet and try and concoct some kind of flavor, which turned out spicier than I wanted.
Yeah, it ended up being some sort of quite. Curry, I think, at the end.
Yeah, it could have done with some kind of curry gravy sauce or something, but it was really fun and we remember that because it was very creative and we had a laugh.
Yeah, we did. And also my favourite thing, obviously, and I think everyone's done this, surely they have, you've been in your kitchen and then you pretend you're like Jamie Oliver and you're like talking about it. You're like, and the next thing we're going to do is like chop up these veggies. I just like, it's just my favourite thing to do in the whole world. Anyway.
But it's like, it's good as well because I'm just thinking this with families for some family fun as well.
Yeah.
It's like you could get one of the partners to take the kids and like, all right, we're going to go shopping and
surprise
the other person.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's
and
so
it
great.
Doesn't have to be expensive.
No, it can be, it's honestly, it cost us just as much as if though we were cooking our regular meals and sometimes there's leftovers. And
yeah, it could be like whatever's on special at Coles, like or Woolies or whatever supermarket
just
you're going with
how you
these days.
Just depends
how you
play the game. All right, what's up next on the list?
Next we have long walks on the beach. This is, like, I tell you what, I have some favourite dates and they're all of these, but this one definitely takes the cake because I do like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. So long walks on the beach, very cheesy, very rom-com, but it's about, once again, that quality time together. Sometimes we choose a beach, but most of the time we just love going around the bay together. And it costs absolutely nothing. Mm. Absolutely nothing. You can match it with like liquidation and get like a coffee on the way. But honestly, you get to know each other so much, especially like long walk, maybe like 40 minutes to an hour at least. And that's just so much time to learn about each other, to hear about how the other is like, how they're getting on with whatever they're working on that year. Like even if you are a couple who like lives together or a family, you lose touch with that sort of thing so much.
Yeah, it is easy to get lost in the day. And I will say this date idea, when it first came up, Gina was like, long walks on the beach. I went, oh, please no. Nobody wants this cliche long walks on the beach. She's like, but we do it. We go around the bay. And I was like, I see where you're going with this. So this originated from exercise. This is just wanting to get out and be active. And it's one of our sort of like one of my personal goals and one of our couple goals, which is we just want to make sure we are being active and we are not just always at home. And so we are lucky enough to have, you know, this bay down the road, like 10-minute walk down the road that we walk around. It takes about an hour and a half. And so it kind of originated from there. But, yeah, it's turned into this fun activity where, yes, sometimes we'll get coffee on the way, and along the way we'll just point out random things like...
Dogs.
Dogs. So many dogs. Dogs, for me, clouds. I don't know what it is. I think clouds are really interesting. Mm. But it is this kind of like, I think movement is always really good for conversation.
Activate.
And so whether you can go around a bay, a lake, you can go to a park.
National
you can go,
park.
Doesn't
whatever.
Matter. Yeah. yeah. Like get out and go for a walk and you'll find that that movement will always encourage more conversation.
And if at least if you have to have real talks, you're not looking at their face directly.
Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes when you go bring up something really important and you're like, yeah, listen, I flooded the lounge room or something ridiculous. Like sometimes, yeah, movement helps.
Mm. And if you want to, I guess if you're maybe you're in an area where there isn't a bay that you can walk around or not, like for a bus ticket, you can travel to like a beach or something and walk somewhere that is more appealing to you than your local area.
Yeah, always look for like sure, there's only so many times you can walk around your local park, definitely. Yeah. But there is probably a bus
route. I mean,
route.
It's the start of the year, so you could sit down with your partner and be like, let's plan out 5 or 6 locations that we haven't been together.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Go
in the year, we've got to go there.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it is layering that with time together, exercise, and really low cost something to do.
Yeah, that one's free. Mm. There you go.
Well, speaking of free, actually, our next one is one of my favorite ones, which is what's on in your area. And so this originated from our housemate goes to the Glebe Markets like almost every single time. And every now and then we will go. And I forgot how much I enjoy being amongst people and amongst like just like things that are happening around me. And so looking at what is happening in your area, generally if you go to your council's like website or something, they'll have a list of all the upcoming events and you can go to those. I didn't realize how much fun I could have at a fruit and veg market till I went to one. I didn't realize how much fun I could have at your Easter hat parade that they're going to put on around because, yeah, some of those things are for kids, which is great for families. But there's always something, they're always trying to cater to every age group. So there's always something to do with these things.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And a lot of community groups also run events. Like Troy has this favorite camera shop in Sydney called George's Cameras, and they often run an event with Sony. I think it's like once a month or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's like once a month, and generally you pay like $5 and you get a coffee there or a beer if it's a night thing, and you get to meet other photographers and you get to like learn new things about your craft.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a great night out. It's just, yeah, where I get to meet, I've made a lot of friends going to those actually.
Yeah, so like community groups are great for that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, awesome.
Next date is geocaching. Mm-hmm. Have you done any?
No, not
your cup of tea?
Probably not.
Definitely, it can be as adventurous as you want.
Yeah.
But some spots can be very adventurous.
For those of you that don't know, geocaching is, there's an app and they give you, I guess it's like a puzzle in a way because they've got all these little clues and hints to finding an actual physical treasure that someone has hidden for you in the city. And it's all over the world. So like you could be in a completely different
There's things land. Hidden in national parks. There's things hidden in probably just down the road from wherever you live. Like there's one around the corner near the coffee shop hidden behind a little tile that's broken.
So what's the app?
So the app is like a – so the app is how you log everything that you find. Mm. And if you want to hide something, you take a photo of the area to give like some clues about where it might be. You leave a riddle and you have to try and like decipher.
But like what's the app that I download?
Just Geocache.
Oh, yeah. It's the actual –
it's literally called Geocache, yeah.
Right.
So if you download –
I thought it was pronounced geocaching.
Oh, I'm from Newcastle, so
so am I.
I don't know. I've never considered. Maybe it is geocaching.
Geocaching.
I don't know. Let me just Google this.
I also pronounce Coogee. Is it Coogee?
Coogee.
You say Coogee.
I say Coogee.
But it's Coogee.
So it could just be the way I'm pronouncing it.
Geocaching pronunciation. Here we go. Let's have a listen here. Oh, no. This is interesting. I'm going to play it here.
Geocaching.
Oh, it is caching. Yeah,
you're right.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I just think maybe I saw it as cache, like the computer memory.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Anyway, irrelevant podcasting content.
It's a great date.
Yeah, sweet.
The good thing about that one is I think it gives you some like a goal.
Oh,
it sends you to a place that you might not normally go to. And I don't know, it layers, it adds
probably
on
good for
fun.
Families as well.
Kids will love it, finding things. Yeah. It's the hard thing.
Kids
is
will love it. Troy and Gina will love it.
The hard thing is you got to leave the treasure there. You don't take it home.
Right. Leave the treasure.
So I think there's an option that's been added where you can swap it for something new, depending. Some spots will let you kind of take and leave a new thing.
So, like, randomly I could hide a keep cup somewhere.
Yeah. And, like, some people will leave, they'll leave, like, a ring or they'll leave, like, just something small. That you, and the idea is you can swap it, but the spot stays the same so you can always find it.
I find it's also, it would be really good if you're on, like, maybe a second or third date, if you want to learn how you problem solve together.
That's the secret behind it.
I have done this before when I was, like, early 20s. And I'm like with someone that I was like, I don't know about this kind of person. And it took us so long to find this thing. And it was just like, obviously a red flag, right?
I was saying to someone the other day, like, if you want to get to know someone, it might have even been on the podcast, you got to take them to IKEA. You've got to buy a cabinet together, you got to take it home and you got to make it together.
It's basically an escape room that you're allowed to leave.
Yeah. We'll be right back after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click get help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Radio, we're back and we're talking about low-cost date options. Thanks for listening. Hey, bit of housekeeping for the podcast. There's a new book, Sort Your Property Out and Build Your Future. If you're interested in buying a property this year to live in or as a first investment property, second property, all the things, you need the book, Sort Your Property Out and Make More Money. We're actually also planning a book launch property seminar where John will teach all the property stuff. You can come along, you can meet John. I'll probably come to each event as well. You can say hi. We're not going to record any of it. It'll all be off the record, just intense property stuff. We'll have some drinks to celebrate the book launch. We'll put a link in the show notes to buy tickets. We're only doing Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth, unfortunately. And that's unfortunately that we're not doing the other cities. Not unfortunately, we're going to Perth. Take that as you may, but that's what we need to talk about at the moment. The book launch, the book, and we thank you so much for your support in our endeavors, and it will add so much value if you are interested in property. We're talking about the low-cost date options with Gina and Troy. And remember, just use this as brain fodder. What can you do with your partner, your family, your first or second Bumble or Tinder date? Don't have to spend lots of money to have lots of fun. Okay. What's the next one?
So our next one is, well, obviously, if you've matched with this person or you're connecting with this person, you've got a shared interest or hobby.
Yeah, chances are there's something you two quite like.
Interesting. Chances. Do you guys like something together?
Well, we're pretty lucky in this sense that because Gina does acting and everything, she's quite comfortable in front of a camera, kind of part of the role. And I happen to be pursuing photography. So one of my personal things that I go out and I do weekly is I go out and I do street photography in the city. It gets me out of the house. It takes me away from work. It takes me away from, it's really just my sort of little space. But because of that, I've always got my camera on me. It's always somewhere nearby. And so we actually go out and every now and then Gina will join me and she'll try and do some photography. And then she will very graciously model for me so I can get when I need someone to walk through a frame and I don't want it to be a stranger or I need to get closer to someone for a reflection shot or something like that, she'll be there for me, which
awesome.
Is great.
Yeah, it's about finding that shared interest or that shared hobby and doing it together. And it doesn't have to be all the times you do it together. Like if I was on every street walk of Troy's, I would drive him insane.
Yeah.
But, you know, find something that works for you.
A lot of this, and what are dates? Dates are doing stuff together to pass time.
Yeah. Finding someone that you enjoy being around and doing activities together.
Mm.
That's really what a date is. And funnily enough, with Tinder and Bumble and all that, you kind of have this little portfolio of here are the activities I like to do and maybe you'd like to do them too.
Mm.
And I find that with dating, something we forget after what I guess is called the honeymoon period is we forget about those things that we like doing together, what interested us first. And it's always good to reflect back on that and go, oh, yeah, that we went on those dates and we did those things. You know, like we went bouldering or we went to the national park.
I talked to someone, they went on a date with a guy and they played tennis.
That's so cool.
Wow. Could they both play tennis?
No.
Oh.
But you try it.
You try it out together. Yeah. I was like, that's so lucky to meet someone else that's also a tennis player on that app. Like,
sometimes you just got to give it a go. You go, would I do that? I'd try it.
I would do tennis.
Try everything once.
Exactly. Or twice. All right. What else is on the list?
This is one that got added pretty late, actually. Mm-hmm. But we realized recently how much we quite like this place.
Yeah, we go to the library a lot. It's cool. It's calm. Mm. It's quiet.
It's collected.
You can bring a coffee. most libraries anyway.
Yeah, it sort of started out as an admin sort of space.
Yeah, because it's so, I guess, when you're in your house, sometimes it's so easy to like, you know, put on the TV or like scan through your like TikTok or whatever. Whereas when you take yourself to the library, you're actively in a space where you can work on your own stuff, like your life admin, say. You can be like, okay, well, I'm here now, so it's like an office for you, right? So we started out as those sort of like admin dates together at the library. But it's also really lovely to like walk around and talk about like the books you're reading or maybe your favorite books that you've read, even go to the DVD section and just like
That's my favorite part. This is where it began.
Wait, you can borrow DVDs still?
You can.
Still?
Yeah. And so we were walking around, Gina was pointing out all these wonderful books because she reads
a lot.
So much. And I was looking at it going, look at all these wonderful books that I won't read, but they're cool. And so I started walking around as well. And yeah, they have like a CD section and a DVD section. And I went, wow, this is kind of like the equivalent of going to Blockbuster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I said to her, I was like, hey, on Friday, because there was a movie or a TV series. We wanted to watch Sailor Moon. That's right. We're talking about watching old 90s like animes. And we couldn't find it anywhere on streaming. And there it was in the library. And I was like, oh my God, on Friday, let's get pizza or let's get some cheap takeaway. Come down to the library, just like you would Blockbuster, and rent a movie.
That's it. That's what we're going to do.
And it was this real nostalgia kick of like going and like selecting a movie together.
Yeah, it's so funny that on a Friday or Saturday night, you had to drive to get content to take home and watch and then drive it back.
Yeah, you had to like full return it. It was a whole trip. But it's something that you don't need to do anymore. And I mean, how many times do you go through Netflix now or, you know, any streaming service and go, I don't even know what I want to watch. There's so much choice.
Oh, I've got like 5 streaming services and I always don't have anything to watch.
Exactly, right? But if you go to the library, it's like you've got to pick one of these things, you know, and they're all great. They're all
classics. It's this little hidden gem that you hear about a lot. And, you know, even being a teacher, I say, go to your local library. And I didn't really know what that meant for a long time. I thought, I'm just encouraging kids to read because that is a really great skill to have and I need to read more. And I've got 2 books that I am working my way through. But I just found, more value in that than just finding a book.
What I want to encourage people with in this podcast is some of you are in relationships and it's lost the F-U-N.
Yeah.
It really has. So how can you be encouraged to reactivate the F-U-N and enjoy each other's company? Like you're with them all the time. Make it fun.
And it's okay to think like this sounds a bit ridiculous. Going to the library sounds kind of like, come on, really, the library? But when you go and you do something, you'll probably find what we've found is that you do start making it fun.
And what I would encourage, because a lot of people listen to this, their partners might not listen to this, can you actually organize a surprise little event of one of these things we've talked about, whether it's the MasterChef thing or it's like, hey, well, we want to have some fun and I'm going to surprise you with this thing and you, what are we doing at the library? Yeah. Well, you will see, my friend. You will see.
What DVD do you want to watch?
Mm. All right. Speaking of, what's the next one?
Well, it kind of links in, whether you want to get a DVD at the library or, as you said, we've all got streaming services. Everyone obviously could do a little like at-home cinema. Now, we did talk about this one. This was a little controversial because it was like, but people watch movies and TV shows every day. So how is that a date? And it's like, well, elevate it, make it gold class for you, you know, go and like buy some movie snacks that you want to eat together. Maybe have an intermission halfway through. And
the intermission was big. So when Gina brought this one up, I was the one that was a bit of a pushback going, but we binge stuff all the time. We're always watching a movie with dinner. Like, what's the difference? And I said, you're going to have to convince me of this one. We're going to have to try it. Like, there's no point in me just saying no. Let's give it a go. And so we dressed up as if they were going to go out to the movies. We went down to the shops and picked out our favorite movie snacks, which were a lot cheaper than at the movies.
Yeah.
Can I just say how fun it is to walk into, like, the supermarket in, like, full glam in your best dress and be like, yes, I'm important.
And then we picked our movie on Netflix. We started watching it and then halfway through Gina pauses it and it was before it really got into it was like a good sort of like drama. And I said, what are you doing? She's like, oh, this is the intermission. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, now we're going to have some dessert. We're going to sit down. We're going to chat about what we think is going to happen in the movie.
Okay. I'm a big fan of the intermission.
Yeah, it's cute,
bring
right?
it back. They do it in the theatre.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time in Gloucester because my grandparents had a farm there.
Mm.
And in the school holidays, they would have movies that they put on. So we'd go into the Gloucester RSL.
Yeah.
That's so
and
good.
You watch the movie in the day or the evening and they have an intermission.
They're so good.
It's amazing. Mm. So speaking of, they need to do this because I love going to the cinema and I recently joined the Hoyts Club.
Oh, and it's congratulations.
Paid. Thank you. I think it's like $15 a year.
Yeah.
But you get 10% off all the tickets, so it pays itself off.
Oh, that's so good.
It paid itself off because I bought tickets for two other people the other night when I went. Mm. I'm like, I'll join it.
Yeah.
I'm a bandit for popcorn, unlimited refills.
Wow.
So I got in, as soon as I got in, I'm just like, I don't need to wait for the movie now. I'm just like,
that's so great,
previews, ads and all that.
Because normally you're trying before to hold off.
You are. But before it started, I went back out and got my refill.
And you refilled.
That's why. GTG, baby.
That's why you need the intermission.
Exactly.
Halfway through, you want to refill that popcorn.
I really do. But Hoyts, they are cheaper. I go to the Hoyts of Charlestown. But also, what's with the 20 minutes of ads? Just charge me more and have less ads. Okay, what's the next point?
Next one is a great one if you want to get away from your phone, get away from technology, and you don't want it to be too food related, but you also don't want to go out. It's really a good winter one, actually, is a board game night. It is so good. I mean, I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for like nearly 10 years now with my main group of friends, and recently
You guys must be just a hoot and a half.
Oh, we are. Such a party. But I introduced Gina to it because I went, you're probably going to love this. And we started playing this year. Mm-hmm. And luckily I was right. She thoroughly enjoys it.
Yeah, we have a date every fortnight and we go and we play tabletop.
But it is a big investment into something like that. That's like a ongoing story game.
Mm.
However, whenever we have someone who can't play, because we're not going to play without them because it's really all together, we will still get together on that same fortnight, but we'll play board games instead. So we're still hanging out with our friends. So to us, we went, this is kind of like almost like a good double date if you want
great
if you
for
want other
dates,
couples
great
around.
For group dates.
Okay, I reckon there's one thing that every household needs to buy. It used to be the Monopoly game, Monopoly Deal. It is so good.
No, I'm not. I am an advocate against Monopoly in general. I cannot stand the original
like
game.
Capitalism. However, I don't like wealth.
You know what I hate? This is what I don't like. I don't like the lazy reskins to make it look interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Simpsons Monopoly. Oh, look, it's not. It's regular Monopoly with pictures on it.
Yes.
But I will say this, Monopoly Deal is the best thing I have in my classroom.
It has changed my life.
Those kids love it and I love it. It's actually so good.
Yeah, so everyone, buy a Monopoly deal. We'll put a link in the show notes if I can get an affiliate link for that on Amazon.
But you're right. Like, it could be, like, it doesn't just have to be, obviously, something like D&D. It could be, like, a classic, like Scrabble. I love playing Scrabble.
And it's, well, I don't.
That's okay.
I got it out. I bought the proper Scrabble a couple of years ago and I had someone over. I'm like, let's play a game of Scrabble. We got it out. I'm like, this sucks. Let's just play Words with Friends. Then we don't have to like.
Words with Friends is great. So many. Yeah, there's really good.
But this is family friendly, cheap entertainment as well.
Totally.
That isn't on a device.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally. It. That's the point. The point is you are, you know, we are always. I have my phone on me constantly. Like if I get a message, I know about it. My watch. Yeah, yeah, my watch will tell me when anything is happening on my phone. Yeah. That's how connected I really am.
I got rid of my Apple Watch years ago for that reason.
I find it really hard.
On me.
But something about it, I just like knowing that I need to, like, that I've got things happening. I don't know.
It's just there, so if Gina calls, you're onto it.
It's pretty much. I'm at a beck and call.
Exactly.
But, yes, there are times where we want to disconnect, and it's refreshing. And board game night, it sounds, again, it's one of those where you go, really, board games? You go, no, trust me. You find the right board game with the right group of people, you are going to have so many wonderful weekends.
My friend Chris just introduced his kids to Settlers of Catan.
Classic.
Classic.
All right, so you've got two bonus rounds.
Yeah, we've got two little extras, and these are really just add-ons to make, like, elevate dates that you're already on.
Yeah, we couldn't really place these as their own. They really just kept falling into some of the other ones.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about them. So the first one is being a tourist in your own city. So it's similar to the what's on your area date, except this time take a little, like, film camera with you, just like even one of the little disposable ones that they sell at Kmart or whatever. And then you actually, from this moment that you're having, you turn it into a memory because you're getting the photos out of it. And then if it's one of your, like, first or second dates, you can actually have a reason to be like, hey, I'm getting those photos developed. Do you want to come around and have a look at them? You know?
Wink.
Wink.
Yeah, it's a really good way to add more sort of like something different to being in a location where you normally are.
And just to keep it family friendly as well, you could also, if you had a family of four, buy four disposable cameras. We're going to the city. We're going to a tourist in our own city.
Yeah.
And we're having a photography competition. We've all got to take photos. And
well, that's the thing. How many times when we spoke of this, I said to Gina, how many times has someone said to you, oh, you live in Sydney, have you walked across the Harbour Bridge? Not climbed it, even just walked over it. And I go, you know what? I always say I can do that, but I actually only recently did it for the first time like 3-4 months ago on one of my photo walks. I went, I'm going to walk over and take a photo of the Opera House. Mm. But like, it's this idea of when I lived overseas, I'd ask people in England, like, oh, you know, where's a good place to go in London? There were some people in the little town I lived in who had been like, I've never been to London. They never left their little county. So, you know, we say we can go to these places, but this is a good excuse to go to them and be a tourist and go see all those generic things, but you might not have thought of doing.
And, okay. Last one, yeah, look. Okay.
Last one's a fun one.
Okay.
It's really good.
Should we try it now?
We can try it now, yeah.
Wait. Let me actually read it because they sent some notes. Or just tell me.
Okay we'll let's.
Yeah, we'd have to. There's prep involved.
Oh,
so
okay.
We went on a mini road trip. I wanted to Wollumbi. Wonderful drive. It's up towards Newcastle.
Yeah, it's out the Hunter.
It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite drives to do, especially whether it's in the morning for the sunrise or in the afternoon for the sunset. It's beautiful. And I want to go there for that reason, to do some photography. And Gina said, hey, there's this thing that's like trending right now, which is this idea of, I guess, like, yeah, a telepathy challenge, which is this little add-on we've got. And Gina, you should probably explain it because it's your idea.
So, like, a lot of my favorite creators do this couples telepathy challenge where they will choose, like, their favorite, let's say for our example, their favorite road trip snacks in the categories of, like, sweet, savory, drinks, and, like, a wild card, right? And you come up with those and then you have to go to the shops and you have to try and buy what the other person's written down. And so when we're on the road trip, then you find, like, say if you're stopping to, like, have lunch or whatever, like, you show each other, you reveal the snacks to each other and you see if you got it right. And it's kind of cute. It's kind of fun.
And the best part is, even if they get it wrong, chances are they know you well enough that you're still getting a snack that you generally will eat anyway.
You're still going to get good snacks.
Mm.
So it's, yeah, it's really good. We did this and we obviously have some work to do.
I think we got 2 out of 4?
Yeah, we got two each, right?
Yeah.
Tells us a lot about us.
But it was really fun. Like, it was just, it's just knowing that there's this little surprise in the car.
Yeah.
And it's a snack that you're generally going to enjoy. And then, yeah, just this laughing moment of like, you thought I wanted this?
Why would you think I want that?
I thought when I read it was like, read my mind.
It kind of is reading my mind. Like, it's like this, like, you know what you would get and they have to try and guess that, you know?
Mm.
And it can also be like, I've also seen a lot of people do it with like drive-thrus where
yeah.
it's like you go through and you're like, okay, I'm going to pick what that person in front of me is, like what my partner's choosing, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. So if you go through Macca's drive-thru to get coffee, yeah, sure enough. I reckon I'll get her coffee right. Generally, it's like a lactose-free flat white. But you go through and it's now a whole meal. Okay.
Oh, watching you choose, you know?
Wild.
Yeah.
So when both of you started dating, how far, in just finishing up, how far into the relationship or connectiveness or whatever you want to call it, like if what was the first meetup date, number one? To remember
liquidation, it was drinks.
Yeah,
so
it was just
we said we'll grab drinks in the city.
What time was it? Afternoon, lunch?
Yeah, afternoon. To evening.
Going into
yeah.
evening.
Yeah.
So it was probably like, I don't know, 6:37.
Yeah, okay.
Around that sort of dinner time, I guess.
And then, like, at what point? How far into it did you start to talk to each other about money?
I think it was pretty early on
for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very early. You asked me 2 or 3 days in.
I remember exactly when.
You asked me like. It was the weirdest question. I'd never been asked, what's my money story? And I went, oh, I don't know, I guess. I earn money and I spend it.
that's actually a really good soft way into it, rather than saying, how much do you earn? How much do you have in the bank?
Mm.
Like, what's your money story? Like, how did you grow up? Like, what do you...
Well, it was really important to me. And, like, when I wrote down, like, my list of, like, non-negotiables in a relationship, I knew one of the very first things I wanted to talk about was money and how... Because I'm really careful with how I manage it and I want to be with someone that has those same values.
I think what worked out is that even though my money story isn't great and where I was 2 years ago, my money situation... wasn't great. I've always been very open about talking about my money because it's a very good defense mechanism for me, because what it would do is it would allow me to set this expectation with my friends that when I'm saying no to things, it's not because I don't want to spend time with them. It's because they know I don't have money.
Yeah.
Or I can't afford that, or there's a financial stress there that got in the way. And so the more I was able to talk about that with my friends, the less they would ask me to do things because they knew.
So you're living together now.
Yeah.
And there's a flatmate.
Yes.
Yeah, so we live housemates. With another couple.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And how do you two manage your money in your relationship at the moment? Because what have you been together, 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
This is where Gina comes in clutch because she is, she's very good at sitting down and going, let's do a budget. Let's just look at our finances. Let's have a look at like how much we're spending. What's the bare minimum that we need to get by?
Yeah.
And we sat down. Gina really facilitated that.
And how is that practically set up?
I have a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good spreadsheet. And I was working full time in my early 20s, and there was like a free financial service with the company I was working for, and they helped me learn about budgeting and they gave me a spreadsheet template to go off. So I have pretty much used that and then made it suit us. And then we also, with any of the costs or expenses, we take into account that Troy does earn more than me. And so we split the costs appropriately.
So practically, in terms of physical bank accounts.
Yes.
Yep.
Is there a joint account?
No, we haven't. Okay. We spoke about that and I didn't want that just yet. It felt a bit too early and I'd had one with a previous partner and went, it gets a bit messy.
Mm.
And so, but we did want to figure out, okay, how do we set up bank accounts for paying bills and paying joint costs and things like that? So we went through with Gina's wonderful budget spreadsheet, found out what are our joint costs. And then we looked at all of our bank accounts and gone, okay, well, where does the rent come out? Because Gina was living with this couple before I'd moved in. Mm. She'd already had like
a rent account set up
yeah. to take it out. So I went, okay, great. So I'll move my rent and my bills into that account because that's where it all comes out from anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not per se a joint account, but it functions in a similar way to one, purely just for our joint expenses.
Yeah.
And then
we do have a separate like grocery card as well.
Yep.
One of the things was
yeah. separate grocery card, whose name is it in?
It's in my name.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did was we actually just looked at all the cards we had as a couple. We're like, oh, so I have this card that I'm not actually really using for anything. We most will use that for something like groceries because it was really easy to access. And then I think you had a teacher's card that we used for petrol.
Yeah.
A teacher with Teachers Mutual. Who would have thought?
So we use that as our petrol card that sort of just lives.
Say where it lives.
near the car keys.
Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is that these physical accounts and cards, there's only really ever superficial amounts in there.
Yeah.
Like there wouldn't be $4,000 sitting in the grocery account.
Yeah, no, we have our own savings accounts.
Yeah, we have our own savings, our own investment accounts.
Yeah, they're
all
just
that.
More flow-through accounts for the ease of...
The idea is that at the end of every fortnight, generally they'll need a top-up because they'll be empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, cool. And it works.
It works for us. Yeah.
We haven't yet to have any issues with it. I think it's because it's a very defined number what has to go into those accounts. The only one that kind of fluctuates really is your grocery account. That's because we're deciding, what are we buying? Are we having salmon for once? And that's like $20 a packet compared to getting, bass of fish, which is like $7 a kilo. Yeah. So it'll fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah, love it. Any final thoughts from either of you on any topic to do with dating, money, relationships, life?
I just think have the money chats, like know it for yourself. That's very important. Talk to yourself first about it and then make sure you're on the same page as your partner. So important.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely probably the most important thing. I think for me, when it comes to, that dating side of things is stress less about spending money on doing certain things. Because you really can, with the right person, and if they're the right person, you'll really find that these cheaper dates or no-cost dates are just as fun because the whole purpose is being with a person and doing an activity.
That's it.
Yeah, what I've learned from both of you is at the very start we talked about getting on the same page of what cheap is. Because if you think $50 is cheap and your partner is having an aneurysm... There's some misalignment there.
Yeah.
So it's just about saying out loud, hey, I see $50 as a cheap thing. $50, what? I could feed
a family of four
with that or whatever. So I think that's one of the lessons for me. The next lesson is from hearing all your stories, it is more of a activities that you can do with someone you like, someone you love, or your family, or getting to know someone.
Yeah. It's just making life fun. It's finding ways to enjoy it.
What are your thoughts about having a separate account for fun joint activities?
Well, we do have a date budget. And so that's money that goes into another, like one of my cards.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll use. And if we don't use it on a week, then that money will just continue to build up.
Yeah. There are some weeks where we go, we're going to do more of these cheaper dates where they're really low cost or no cost. And over a few weeks, all of a sudden we go, oh, hey, we've actually got a bit of money in there. Let's do something big.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, like back to that alignment, working out the value tipping point. And what I mean by that is in our lives, I value quality. And because I value quality, that can attract a higher price point. But there's some things that I don't value quality. And it's working out what are those weird quality kinks that you both have because we've all got them.
Totally.
And that can be honestly as simple as, if we think about the pizza date, there is a pizza joint down the road from us. We love it. They have fantastic pizza, but they are more expensive.
Mm.
Yeah.
And some people will go, who cares? Pizza is pizza and I will get it from Pizza Hut or Domino's.
And I would say to them, you are wrong.
Invest in pizza.
Invest in pizza.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, lots of lessons here today. Gina and Troy, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Bye.
We acknowledge the Awabakal people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast. My Millennial Money supports a variety of charities, and we encourage you to consider giving as part of your overall financial strategy. If you would like some giving options, or if you're unsure about which charity you can support, head to mymillennial.money/charities for more info. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.